Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free Posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
You know, it gets to a point where you just really have to make clear, intentional decisions about putting yourself and your health and your family and your family's happiness first. And you can love your work as much as possible, but I mean, it's still possible for it to be toxic.
Welcome to the Portrait System Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and this show is here to help you succeed in the world of photography and business, to help you learn to become financially free doing what you love and so much more. With over 1 million downloads, countless photographers have taken what they've learned from both our episodes and from theportraitsystem.com, and they have grown their businesses, quit their day jobs, and are designing a life of their dreams. We keep it real and share stories about the ups and downs that come with running a photography business. You'll hear real life stories of how other photographers run their business, and you'll learn actionable steps that you can take to reach your own goals. Thank you so much for being here, and let's get started. Hey guys, now is your chance to check out all of the incredible photography education we have available for you at theportraitsystem.com. For only $7, you will get access to over 1,000 videos, including pricing, posing, marketing, lighting, sales, inspiring photo shoots, self-value, and more. Yes, you'll get your first month for only $7 when you become a pro member, and you'll get access to the full download library with posing guides and workbooks and so much more. Also, this includes a pricing calculator, a studio startup timeline, our weekly live broadcasts, including Sue Bryce's live talks, access to our private, members-only Facebook groups, special discounts on photography products, and so much more. Head over to theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7 to get your first month for only $7. That's theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7. This week, Cara Marie is back on the Portrait System Podcast. If you don't know Cara Marie yet, she is an amazing boudoir photographer and just an all-around wonderful person to talk to. Cara Marie has shared in the past about her struggles with being a total workaholic and realizing she needed to make a change. Well, since our last episode, she moved from Austin, Texas, all the way to Italy, and she talks about how she continues to have a thriving photography business in Austin, even though she's no longer there. We also talked about the key things Cara Marie does in each photo shoot to make it a success. We chatted about her brand new photography course, which was filmed in Italy. And as always, Cara Marie gives a ton of golden nuggets throughout the interview. Okay, let's get started. Hi, Cara Marie. Welcome back to the Portrait System.
Hey, Nikki. Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so happy to talk to you. I think the last time we saw each other was in Italy or WPPI? Italy, right?
Italy, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe Phoenix. I don't know.
No, it was in TPM.
Trying to think. TPM.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. That was September. Yeah, okay. Not WPPI. I got those confused. Yes, TPM. That's right. Well, sweet. You're back in Italy now.
I am back in Italy now. Yes, it is full-blown Christmas season here. It's very interesting spending Christmas in this neck of the woods. I mean, they really do it big.
Do they?
Lots of lights. And yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. Well, for people who didn't listen to your first episode, that was back in October of 2020. And you hadn't moved to Italy yet. I think you were still a few months out from leaving from Austin to go to Italy.
Yes, that sounds about right. I'm coming up on 2 years in Italy in February. So that makes sense.
Yep. Yep. Awesome. All right. Well, we have a lot to cover. And, you know, for people who want to just hear your story from how you kind of became a photographer and built your business and grew, you know, into this really successful kind of boudoir, I know you don't love to use that necessarily, like put yourself in just one box there. It's, you know, you do such beautiful portraits. I don't want it to just be like strictly boudoir. But for people who want to hear your story, make sure to go back and listen to that episode, because we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about your business now. And yeah, I'm excited.
Me too. Let's do it.
All right. So why don't we start with, I know there can be a huge transition, obviously moving to another country. But, you know, when you have a business in one place and then you're moving to another place, you kind of have to juggle, like, am I going to regrow my business there? Am I going to fly back to where I lived? You know, and just speaking from experience, I grew my business in Seattle. And then I also had a studio in Michigan because I was going to Michigan so often because that's where I'm from. And I had studios for like 7 years in both places, and I would go back and forth. It got tricky. So I'm curious how your experience went. So maybe start from, you know, you get to Italy and then let's kind of go from there.
Yeah. So when it became clear that I was going to be relocating, the initial plan was, yeah, I'll just keep going back and forth. And you're right, it gets tricky. And I knew that already, especially when I was crossing, you know, the world, not just a couple of states, as I had done when I moved from Pennsylvania to Austin. So yeah, of course it gets tricky, and I still make an effort to get back. But I also knew that when it was clear that I would be relocating, that I was going to pivot a bit. I had no intention of opening another, like, full-time high-volume studio here. The entire purpose of my relocation was to kind of get laser-focused on creating more for me and for art, and to focus on my education as well, and mm-hmm. not necessarily doing 8 to 10 photo shoots a week after week, because it did get very, I was very blessed to be so busy and successful, and I loved it so, so, so much. But what that afforded me, being able to build my business up to that point, afforded me the option to choose. And it's been wonderful mm-hmm. to be able to be more selective and to only book one shoot a month or so here in Italy. And then when I do go back to the States for teaching gigs and things like that, I can take a couple of shoots there. Now, I have a wonderful team in Austin who, when I found out that we were approved and we were definitely going to be relocating, they're so talented and such hard workers, and I didn't want to just up and leave. So I continued to keep a newly launched business, which is in your department, in personal branding. And actually, we do commercial photography and personal branding photography. And I gave that to my girls in Austin. So I essentially just helped them launch, and they're using my name, and I trained them, and they are able to run that leg of the business. And then I also have my associate shooter shooting, you know, Cara Marie style photography. They're still in Austin too. So it's been really incredible to be able to, you know, build things up to this point where I have so much flexibility, and I'm mm-hmm. able to be really intentional and specific about what our goals are. And I'm able to extend that to the people that have been working for me for many years, and they're incredibly talented. And I'm just really grateful to be able to share that with them.
So is this more of a, almost like an associate type business, like where you are still part of it, or have you just kind of built it up for them and kind of let go of it, and now they just took it over?
A little of both. So my associate is shooting under Cara Marie Studios wings. So that's still Cara Marie Studios style images like you see on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. But the other is Cara Marie Collective, which launched right around the onset of the pandemic. And that is an entirely separate thing that actually my husband is the business and logistics manager for. I'm essentially just the creative manager. My role is minimal because the artists that I have working for that brand are so, they're incredible. They have their own style, their own
so
shtick.
Great.
And it has genuinely almost nothing to do with me. It's my name on it, but these girls are incredible. And I wanted to give the opportunity for more female artists in Austin, Texas, to have this, you know, I already had my reputation built there. It was a gift from me to them, but really it was so well deserved that I can't even, you know, call it that. It was just a really good match and a good connection. And they've been kind of running with it ever since. I'm in on the meetings, but I am slightly embarrassed to say I don't do much. I don't have to. They're just incredible.
But you know, that's the beauty of building something and being able to kind of like pass the torch a little bit.
Exactly.
I mean, isn't that, I don't think I don't think all of us want to do 10 to 12 photo shoots a month for the rest of our lives. I mean, maybe some of us do. I did it for 10 years and started to get burned out mm-hmm. a little bit on it. And, you know, now I do a couple a month. But like you said, when you build your business to a certain level, you do have more options. Like, I love teaching people how I got to where I'm at and how I do what I do and how to keep it efficient and simple and just to make it work. And I know you love teaching that too. And to have that option to be able to shoot sometimes and teach sometimes and have an associate, like, it's incredible.
It's fantastic. It helps with that burnout so much because, mm-hmm. you know, you're doing a variety of things and, you know, you're sharing the work. There's so much work out there. And when you work really hard to build up your business and establish your reputation and build your client list out, there's always more than enough business to go around. So it's been really incredible, exactly like you said, to pass the torch. And I'm so proud by the work that they're turning out. And I'm grateful for the opportunity that I have now to kind of pivot and focus at a more slow pace, intentional pace, and be able to really enjoy life a lot more. Because as much as you love your work, we all love our work, of course, especially in this industry, we have the coolest job ever. Mm-hmm. But it's so easy when you work for yourself to burn yourself out. And
you feel
like you're potentially being ungrateful for, you know, you don't want to complain about having too much business. That seems ridiculous. We worked so hard for this, right? But, mm-hmm. you know, it gets to a point where you just really have to make clear, intentional decisions about putting yourself and your health and your family and your family's happiness first. And you can love your work as much as possible, but I mean, it's still possible for it to be toxic. So you really have to know yourself and honor yourself by setting some clear boundaries and making sure that you're, you know, hiring out and training well so that you can share that work and pass the torch. And then hopefully they'll pass the torch too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You bring up just such important points. And it's something I talk about all the time too, are those boundaries and just taking care of yourself. And for people out there who are listening, who are thinking like, oh, I'm still working on just getting, you know, a couple shoots a month or even one a month or whatever, I don't want you to think that, oh, like having too much work is just for those people or whatever. Like, we started with nothing.
Yeah, of course.
Built our way, you know.
Of course we did, yeah.
Anyone who is successful in this business who has truly done it and who has had, you know, the clients coming in for many years and that sort of thing, we had to start somewhere. So if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I really want to get to that point, if you continue to do the work, if you have a strong, beautiful portfolio, if you're making connections and building relationships with your clients, if you're networking, if you're marketing, like if, you know, you have your pricing nailed down and your pitch and all of these things, I know it might sound overwhelming, but if you have that, it will come. It will. It's just a matter of doing it. So
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what so many people just can't believe is how fast it's possible to grow mm-hmm. your business to a point where you have so much, you're swimming in it. But it really, I mean, if you're serving your clients and you're taking good care of them and it's going to happen. It's going to happen extremely easily because as much as we want to believe that there's so much competition out there, there's just such an oversaturated market. The fact of the matter is there aren't a tremendous number, percentage-wise, of creatives that are doing the work. They are, you know, treating their clients poorly, or they have kind of questionable business ethics, and they're not mm-hmm. going to be around for the long haul. So just keep your nose down to the grindstone and focus on doing all of those acts of service for your clients, and your business is going to build organically. But then remember that you have to be the one that sets those boundaries, because when those business or those opportunities come in for shoot after shoot after shoot, it gets really hard to say no. It gets really mm-hmm. hard to say
it
no
does.
Because you worked so hard for it. So I'm the poster child for burnout. So I could go on for months about that. It's kind of a product of being a creative. Yeah.
Yeah. I was watching some of your talk in Italy when we were at the workshop at the Graffi Studio Castle with Sue. And gosh, just listening to your story and everything was so, it's just, it really hit home. It's so relatable.
Of course,
and
yeah.
You know, it just, it really puts things into perspective. So, and if you are someone listening who's like, okay, I'm kind of there. Like, I have too many shoots. I'm not outsourcing enough. I'm not saying no to certain work that I should be saying no to. You really have to take some time to evaluate this and to look at where you can be more efficient and where you can give things away and not try to do it all, because I guarantee you it'll catch up to you. It caught up to Cara Marie. It caught up to me. It is something that you have got to pay attention to. I just cannot stress that enough. So,
I know. Yeah. It's a really important topic. And, you know, we focus a lot on building business, but we really need to pay attention to mm-hmm. what we're doing mm-hmm. to ourselves. And remember that, you know, there has to be something left when you're done with work. There has to be, you can't pour from an empty cup and all of those other cliches that are so true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I got into that grind of just like work. And my house was the place that I came home to crash. It wasn't, mm-hmm. I was coming home to enjoy. It wasn't that I was coming home to relax. I was coming home to recover.
Right.
And yeah, so you never want to let yourself get to that point, because once you get to that point, it's a really hard habit to break.
It is.
So it's all about just understanding what you need as a business person to keep your business running and have you making the amount of money that you need. And maybe a little extra cushion is fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more to life than endless amounts of money and having no energy or, you know, anything left in you to actually enjoy it. Yeah.
You're not kidding. Mm-hmm. Well, and I, you know, before we move on, I just want to say one more thing about kind of associates, because I know there are some people who are ready. They're ready to pull the trigger. So can you just give us a basic overview of how that works? Because obviously you still need it to be somewhat profitable for you. It's in your name. It's, you know, your business, that sort of thing. So how do you make that continue to be profitable for you, but make sure the people who are shooting for you and who are, you know, you said really taking on most of the work, how you make it beneficial for them as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And the concept of associates, I don't think it... You have to be as far along as you think you do. Honestly, like, you can start sharing that load the second that you are consistently booking things to capacity for yourself. I mean, if it's 6 months and you're like, okay, I have been booked solid for 6 months and I'm at the point now where I'm scheduling people like 8 months in advance, you can start exploring this option. And I think it's really important to just be really transparent with your audience about it and say, listen, like, this is what it's like to shoot with me. This is my style. I train my associate, and I only usually just one at a time under my Cara Marie Studios brand. And so I used my studio manager, Joe Lee, who had been working under me for three and a half years. She heard the way I was communicating with my clients. She was trained on my customer service. She saw exactly what I was doing with each person. She was the perfect person to put in this position. She happened to be a film photographer, more of a hobbyist, but she was good and she had her own vision. And for me, my goal was not, and it's the same in education, my goal is never to train people to shoot just like me. I think that's doing everybody a disservice. I wanted her to be able to kind of capitalize on it as her own style. We are very transparent with our audience about that. Like, here is her portfolio. Here is what she offers. Here's how long she's been shooting. She's got her own set of strengths. She's got her own style. Here's my style. Here's my prices, you know, so I'm just very transparent about the process and I promote her. So I think a lot of people with associate photographers are like, I don't know, they get a little nervous about promoting, whether, I don't know if it's like a, I built this, it's mine, like kind of mm-hmm. a creed thing, because it can be a little hard to let go of that control. And I think it's really important to remember that if you're treating your people well, whether this is your assistant, your retoucher, your makeup artist, your associate photographers, treat them so well. Treat them well, and then you're not going to have to retrain somebody in 6 months.
Totally.
That's so important. Take care of them. I think about my favorite jobs in the past before I worked for myself, and they just took such good care of their employees. Well, some of them did, some of them did not. But the ones that did, you know, they, it's amazing what it does for the workplace camaraderie and everybody's health and happiness. And I never wanted to be an employer that, you know, my employees kind of like gossiped about behind their back or like rolled their eyes when they were talking. I wanted totally. To have like a friend, but a mentor kind of relationship with them. And that's the way that it's always been. And if you have that mutual respect and if you're training them well and treating them well, then it really does work out pretty effortlessly. And also, of course, allowing them to be their own creative and individual. So as long as you're educating your clients and their clients about what they're going to be getting and under-promising and over-delivering on that, it doesn't matter who you have shooting for you. It's a recipe for success, and it's really going to help you take the load off, and it's going to allow you to pass the torch and give another creative, maybe with a little bit less experience than you, a leg to stand on. And it's really rewarding. And
exactly.
I'm so proud. I'm so proud of Jolie, especially. She has been absolutely crushing it, and she is getting these huge brand campaigns now. And I can't, you know, I guess take credit for giving her a chance and giving her an opportunity, but I have given her the space and the coaching that she needs, but she has done this. She did the work, and she's representing herself, my business as well, but she's representing herself so beautifully. And there's just, it's so important to be a good leader and somebody that can be there, you know, just
exactly
to mentor
right.
and guide them. And then it's going to help you, of course. When it comes to compensation, I'm far more generous on their end than I am on my own, because I think that it shows them that they're respected, and I want to pay people what they deserve. So I do very generously compensate my associate photographer and my team, because that long-term is going to work out better for me in the end. Even if like the individual transaction profit margin is lower for me, I'm going to be more profitable in the end, because they are going to keep my business running for the long game and not the short game.
Yep, that's exactly right. I had an associate for about 2 years in Seattle. Unfortunately, she left Seattle, and then I just wasn't there anymore. I didn't want to take the time to train anyone else, but I'll never forget the first time I was on vacation, actually. I was in Mexico, and I was pregnant with my second son. And I remember she called me, and she's like, I just did the reveal. It was like the first or second one that she had done for me. And she sold the biggest package. And I'm like, wow, I'm in Mexico. I'm pregnant on the beach. I just made $1,000, and I really didn't do a whole lot. You know, I mean, obviously, I hate to say you didn't do a whole lot, because we built up our business to have these referrals coming in, to be able to, you know, give the clients to this person. Like, we built the website and did the marketing and spent the time and all the things. So I hate to say like, oh, we didn't do anything, but that particular shoot, I didn't do a whole lot, you know? And it's like, all right, that was great. You know? So,
I mean, that's just like providing good customer service in your business, though. You're doing all the work on the back end. So you did all the work on the back end to properly train and to give her the tools that she needed. So you did the work. It just feels like you didn't, because the hard work is in the past.
You're right. Right.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember too, just one more thing and then we'll move on. When you do have an associate, to find someone who, yes, you'll need to train up front, but that doesn't take a lot of hand holding. The last thing, and don't micro, you know, someone that you don't have to micromanage.
Right.
And if you are a micromanager, this might be tricky for you, because you might be spending even more time, you know, managing this person than if you just did the shoots yourself. So it's just making sure you find the right person and you have the right personality for letting things go and allowing kind of the, you know, the ship to sale. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I absolutely do. You're absolutely right. And I think one thing that's really important for anybody that's considering hiring an associate or expanding their business in that way, consider taking some leadership courses or management courses, because a lot of it comes down to how well you manage people. And it can be really tricky for creative brains are typically, we have a harder time with, organizing tasks a lot of the times. And, I'm a little bit of a squirrel brain. So sometimes it's difficult for me to, you get in that situation where there's something presents itself and you're like, oh, I'll just do it myself. I'll just do it myself. It'll be easier this way. And then before you know it, you're taking on all of these tasks that you're paying somebody else to do. That's the whole point of this. So I highly recommend, and if you know Simon Sinek, if you guys are readers, or even if you like to, anybody that's listening likes to listen to a lot of podcasts, which I assume that they do, Simon Sinek, S-I-N-E-K, he's a brilliant, brilliant author. And he has a book that I highly recommend for anyone that's looking to expand, or anyone who manages people in general. So if you have a team, an assistant, a hair and makeup team, it's called Leaders Eat Last. And it's a fantastic book about running an organization in a way that is just is going to really cultivate that family type feeling in your studio and with all of the people that you work with. And that has really helped me to be able to be a better communicator, a better manager, because a lot of it boils down to just communication and good communication skills. And if we've worked for ourselves in our studios with just us and our clients for 10 years, we get into the habit of just relying exclusively on ourselves and not having to communicate a whole lot exactly what we need or do proper training, et cetera. So learning how to communicate properly is extraordinarily important, and it's a work in progress. So it's probably going to be a little bit rocky for the first few months of training and working with a new person. You guys are getting to know each other and how you work best with each other. But it's so important, if you keep that communication open and you get really precise and ask for what you want, and you're not beating around the bush or, sugarcoating things, but you're being kind. It's just, it's an art almost.
It's like a relationship. I mean, I think
it
about
really
like,
is.
Yeah, I try to be like this way with
it
my
really
husband.
Is. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, okay. So obviously boudoir is, it's your jam. It's something that you've done for so many years in such a classy, classic, beautiful way that I feel like almost focuses more on the feeling and the expression and just empowerment. Did I get that right, do you think?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And you do such an amazing job at it. And I know you have a course that had come out a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And then you also have a new course that came out. And I don't want to just like, have you regurgitate stuff that you teach in the course or whatever, but I want to talk a little bit about, just some of those, because you talk a lot about giving good customer service and, being able to bring all of these clients in. So I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about how you do all of this just in your business as well. That's one question. And the second too, that I feel like I should ask too, is how is the new course different from the first course?
Sure. Yeah. So, service-wise, this is a topic that I wish all photographers would study before they open a business, because it's going to save you so much heartache, much heartache and so much work and correcting of problems in the future. Because, I didn't rely at all on advertising, not one penny spent on advertising or bridal expos or any of those things. Not to say that those things can't produce for you. They absolutely
sure, sure.
can, but I genuinely just didn't have to, because—
And that's pretty remarkable.
I think it is. I really think it is, especially after coaching so many photographers over the years. When you invest all of that work on the back end into your customer service systems and setting up your systems in your business, like your workflows, and making sure that nothing is getting lost between the cracks. Your clients are always informed and educated. It doesn't matter if you're just starting out and you're a horrendous photographer like I was. I was horrendous, absolutely atrocious. But I was always very explicit with my clients. They knew exactly what they were going to get. And then I over-delivered on that. And I gave them my best service. And they were my biggest cheerleaders for my business. And that was what grew my business. It wasn't my photography prowess, although thank goodness that got better over the years. It really is an often overlooked topic when people are, you know, looking to advance their craft or grow their business. But it should be the first place that you start. And in the first course that I released a couple of years ago, that was the boudoir series and the portrait masters, that was the fundamentals. So I run the gamut of all of the topics. I talk about, you know, posing basics and lighting and some of the business basics and customer service and how to sell boudoir. And then into the second course, which, you know, we went back and forth on what a good idea. We listened to all the feedback and I was trying to listen to what customers were wanting more of. And everyone always would email me and say, I just want to come and watch you shoot. I just want to be a fly on the wall. So while in the original course, I think that was a perfect launching course. It was a perfect fundamentals course because I taught all of these lessons and these topics, but there wasn't a whole lot of like live shooting that, you know, I was teaching on this is what you do for this. This is what you do for that, to give you the fundamentals and the basics that start to build that foundation in boudoir. So you get a good handle on it. You understand the importance of professionalism and, you know, some of the legalities and things like that. So it's absolutely crucial to have all of that fundamental information first. And then in the second course, we did it like a shoot along and it was so much fun. And I was able to, because like I said before, Nikki, I never wanted to be an educator so that I could teach people to be just like me. You know, I wanted to teach people how to fish and not give them the fish, if that makes
100%,
sense.
100%,
yes. Yeah,
yes,
and yes, I just, yes. I didn't want to see a bunch of like Cara Marie clones because, you know, I'm not that great. I just wanted to see people, you know, fly and take it and make it their own. And I, most importantly, wanted to demonstrate the vast array of possibilities with the boudoir niche. It does not have to look like just one thing. And I think a lot of people, because it is one of the newer kind of genres of photography to become popular, I think people have a very streamlined idea in their head of what it has to look like. And I really wanted to demonstrate in this class that there are so many different ways that you can shoot this style of photography. And you can make it completely your own. So in this class, I do 12 different styled photo shoots. Really, only two of them are like I consider to be my own styles. Because again, I didn't want it to be like, oh, okay, like this is what it should look like. Try to shoot like this. I wanted to demonstrate, okay, you can do it with a white shirt. You can do it in the sheets. You can do a lingerie styled shoot. You could do implied nudes. You could do men's boudoir. There's all different ways to do this. You can shoot boudoir outside if you wanted to. I wanted to help people kind of redefine what they viewed boudoir photography as. And for me, it's just intimate styled portraiture that is, you know, for a client or a person to do for themselves. And if they choose to give that to somebody else, cool. That's great. If they choose to put it on a billboard or print it and put it on the wall, awesome. But most importantly, it's just intimate portraiture to do for yourself. And that can be done in any number of styles. So for all 12 styles that I show in this class, then you can further customize it by completely changing the lighting to suit your style or your post-processing or the wardrobe and the styling. There's infinite possibilities here. And that's really what I wanted to demonstrate. So we take people through 12 different photo shoots in all different styles. And you're just there with me as I shoot and I direct and I give you tips and tricks and I troubleshoot because it wasn't all perfect. It never is in any photo shoot situation. It was fun. It was like fly on the wall. So all those people that are emailing me, like, I just want to come and watch you shoot.
Right.
This is the perfect way to do that. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Now, for all of those shoots, obviously you said they're styled differently, they look differently, but what are like the main threads of must do type things in your shoots, regardless if they look different? Like, what are the commonalities that you're like, I always do A, B, and C to make it a good shoot so that you're connecting with your client, making them feel comfortable, like all those good things?
Yeah. Number one, I always get a really, really clear understanding of what their expectations are. That is like the staple of a successful shoot. You know, if you're photographing models for a portfolio, you can be a little bit more selfish here. But it is really important to understand that not everybody views sexy the same way. And we would be doing our clients a disservice if we assume that every single client that walks into our studio or whose house we walk into to do one of these photo shoots, it all wants to wear, you know, a head to toe full lingerie set with heels. That's not everybody. You know, everybody has a different idea of what makes them feel sexy and feel empowered and strong and confident. So you have to get on the same page with your client. You have to actually listen to what they want. Absolutely. And then, you know, for me personally, it's skin. I like to show skin, even though, you know, some clients, their idea of sexy is like a full suit, like a three-piece suit. Awesome. How can I show some shoulder there? So that's me. But if a client, let's say, you know, a client's like, I want to do a boudoir styled shoot, but I'm really incredibly modest. I never show skin. So then how do you make that boudoir? Well, maybe we add some more sensual facial expression or, you know, the touching of the body so they can run their hands like up and down their arms or like massage their jaw or the back of their neck. You can be really sensual and create sensuality with different styles of lighting or different body language. So there's ways to make that your own. And then also making sure that you're giving your clients the opportunity towards the end of the shoot to perhaps, you know, give some suggestions for anything that maybe you guys haven't done yet that they might want to try. So I really make this a collaboration. It's so important to the success of the shoot. And if you're doing a good job educating your clients along the way, they're going to already know the types of things that you do and absolutely do not do. So there shouldn't be any awkward conversations during the photo shoot of like, well, I'd like to do this. And you're like, absolutely not. because that absolutely happens if you're not communicating or educating along the way. You know, I've had people come in with like weapons and things. I'm like, no weapons in my studio.
That's not how I roll.
Yeah. And then as soon as you have a situation like that that presents itself, you know, oh, I need more education about this in my client communications. So you go in and you make those updates so it doesn't happen again. But yeah, it's every boudoir shoot for me, it's about establishing that connection, listening to the client, and, you know, rocking out the lighting and having a good time. Just have fun with it. It's so much fun. And the more fun that your client is having and the more fun that you're having, the better the shots are going to be. We all know this by now, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about styling. Like, as far as, I know you said, you know, it within the course, there's so many different styles and that sort of thing. Okay. Obviously, first step, finding out what the client wants. But do you help guide them? Because I feel like sometimes people are like, I don't know, whatever you want me to do. What do you think I should do? And it's, you know, like, how do you kind of navigate that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are, you know, there's quintessential boudoir-y kinds of things that you can keep on hand in your studio or you can recommend that your clients get. And we touch on those in the class, like, you know, the classic white shirt or even just, you know, sheets. You can point them in the direction of lingerie. But I like to have, I have a very detailed prep guide. It's a boudoir prep guide. It's actually, there's one in the Portrait Master store, a template, and it gives explicit directions on wardrobe, do's and don'ts. And this is different for every photographer. You know, some photographers, based on their post-processing, are going to say, like, please no, like, bright colors, or please no tiny patterns. So it allows you the opportunity, building this prep guide for your clients, it allows you to communicate to them exactly how you work, what's going to show up best on camera, and guide them towards maybe wardrobe pieces that they already have in their closet so they don't have to go shopping. You know, all of my clients used to stress out so much about like what to go and buy. And I would think like, oh my goodness, well, if they think that they have to go and do something special for this, then I'm not communicating my own personal philosophies on the style of photography very well. I need to be communicating because my whole message is, you know, you're cool the way you are. You don't have to go out and spend, you know, $1,000 on some crazy lingerie that you would never in a million years wear. Uh-huh. Go dig into your closet, find your favorite t-shirt, and we're going to rock it. Or go find, like, you know, the people that were doing it for a gift. You know, you can go and find your partner's favorite shirt, or you can make anything boudoir-y, like jeans. I can do it. Absolutely. Suit, bell gown. Got it. Easy peasy. So I like to coach my clients in that prep guide on, like, you know, digging through what they already have, bringing in some of their favorite pieces. And I promise you that I'm going to find a way to make it have the boudoir feel for the style that you're going for.
And that's something I really love is, you know, what to wear and all these things, and I'm not photogenic, and those are all pain points for our clients. And I love that you can do that. You can kind of, you know, before they even get to that part, you can give that sort of spiel to tell people, like, this isn't about the lingerie. This is about you. This is about what you're comfortable in, and you can do anything with whatever you bring, you know, you will make it
exactly.
work. It's on your shoulders. Exactly, it's your job. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Cool. And we demonstrated that at TPM this year on stage. I previewed yes. essentially one of the segments, the contemporary boudoir portrait segment in the class, in which we take a black sundress. And this was actually, I mean, I had to really roll with the punches here when we were filming the series. First of all, we were filming in Italy, which is, it sounds so glamorous, right? But you don't think about, you know, I'm used to productions in the United States, and you don't think about all of the different obstacles that you're going to come up with shooting in Italy. I mean, we were shooting during like a high tourist and holiday season. It was really difficult to get a crew. We were shooting in the middle of like another COVID spike. So we had people kind of dropping out left and right at the last second. And it was actually kind of a nightmare, the production, until we started rolling, and then it was great. And then as soon as we stopped, something else happened, right? So we're filming in my loft, which is an amazing industrial warehouse, fantastic. But, you know, there's no air conditioning, and it was a record, like a 20-year record-setting heat wave. And we're just dripping in sweat, just absolutely, it was miserable. And I lost a model at the very, very last second. And I was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? And I pulled my makeup artist, and I was like, hey, any chance? I know you came in to do makeup, but is there any chance at all you would want to be filmed with me photographing you? And she's like, and she was kind of terrified. And I was like, she was wearing a black sundress. And I was like, I can work with this. Like, you can keep this on. Like, we'll work with this. And she was like, I mean, really? Like, I don't have to get in lingerie? And I was like, no, like, we can make this boudoir. And it ended up being the perfect, like, troubleshooting kind of situation. And I'm like, yeah, this is applicable to, you know, there's people that maybe clients come in and they forget their wardrobe. Or for all the portrait photographers out there who are just introducing boudoir into their repertoire, like, you have a client that's like, ooh, I might be interested in booking a boudoir shoot. I'm a little intimidated by it. And they have their personal branding session. You're like, well, why don't we just try a few quick shots at the end of your session? You can keep on whatever you're wearing. And they're like, oh, you know, it makes it so much more approachable for them. So I took the black sundress and I made a boudoir. And then I did the same thing on stage at the Portrait Masters. And it just really goes to show, you change the lighting, you set the tone with the body language and the mood that you're setting on your set, and you can make anything boudoir. So that was a really fun, it was like, well, wasn't fun at first, but but it turned out to be really great troubleshooting along the way. That was kind of what was cool about this course, was like, we all have all of these problems come up on a regular basis in business. So I didn't want to hide those problems. I wanted to show how I would roll with the punches. And that's exactly what we did.
Oh, I love that. There's something so great about seeing someone work and not the most ideal situations, right? Because then you can see, yes, how they troubleshoot through it and how they work and how they, you know, keep going, or just find a way.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
Amazing.
Yes.
It's amazing.
I assure you there was troubleshooting to be done on each and every single one of those segments. There was always something coming up. So we really pulled through and made it awesome. I mean, I was really impressed with what we came up with over those 4 or 5 days of shooting, and to pull out 12 segments. We could have continued to go, I think, for another few days, because there's so many styles to explore. Maybe for another class.
Yeah.
Part 3.
It's funny. My outdoor and on-location class is so similar, where we did 10 different shoots. I think it ended up being 12 different looks.
Which is so good, by the way. Congratulations. Oh, what a great class.
But yeah, same thing. It's like we dealt with, oh my gosh, so many weather issues and location mm-hmm. issues and everything. And there is just so much value. You know, people have said it about your course, about my course, seeing people go through all this, because this is real life. Like, if you want to be a boudoir photographer, you need to go through, you're going to face some of these issues.
Yeah.
I just had someone post in my Facebook group, not even 2 days ago, might have even been yesterday, saying, well, my client left her 3 outfits at home. And I'm thinking, yep. How do clients leave their clothes at home? And
all
sure
the
enough,
time.
You just said,
that
yeah.
happens all the time.
So she posted some photos about how she made it work with this one outfit. And then she had a black shirt that she let the client wear, and how she mm-hmm. gave them lots of different looks doing that, you know. These
exactly.
things are going to happen. Especially if you shoot outside, you're going to deal with weather. You're going to deal with people in your shot. You're going to deal with like bad lighting that you're going to have to work through it all. And when you see someone else troubleshoot that, it's awesome. You just learn so much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's so, I mean, how unrelatable is it to like see a perfectly, like a perfect production?
Like a curated,
I always, anytime
like,
I was, yes, I'm like, oh my God, give me some problems. Give
totally.
Me some drama. This is too easy for you. You know, you've got 76 people on set to help you make everything perfect.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it was absolutely perfect.
A model
lighting,
who knows what they're doing.
And honestly,
yeah.
exactly. And that was very, I only used 2 models in the 12 segment class. I wanted in fact, I ended up having to use one additional model because we lost one of, I was going for, okay, I want no professional models. I want mm-hmm. everybody to just be a regular client that's not familiar with the camera. And then we did end up having to use a couple of professional models just because we ended up losing people and it was a matter of booking crisis. But I was very explicit with them. Like, I want you to let me direct you. Like, I don't want you to do like supermodel posing. I want you to
so
act
great.
Like you don't know what you're doing at all. So,
so
it's really incredible to be able to troubleshoot and work through all of those problems. Live on camera. Yeah.
Your teaching style though is so great too. And you're fucking funny. Like that I love too is like, you know.
You should tell my kids that.
No, I really do love your teaching style. I've seen
you
work quite a bit, and I really love it. It's really, really amazing. And yeah. So.
I think you have to be, that's one thing, you know, I've been shooting for about 16 years, but also remember that I was doing like 10 shoots a week for such a long time that I packed in essentially a lifetime worth of experience in a short period of time. And as with anything else, photography related or not, like if you can't explain it like you were explaining it to a child, then you don't know it well enough, you know? And I find my teaching style to be approachable for that reason. I was never professionally trained, you know? I was before all of Sue's amazing videos came out. And by the time all of this amazing education started coming out online, I was already like all the way in to my work and didn't have time to you know, watch a 30-minute video and let that carry me to the next level. So we're so lucky. Photographers now are so lucky to have this wealth of knowledge at their disposal to allow them to kind of catapult themselves to these levels that they would otherwise have to spend, you know, 15 years doing 10 shoots a week in order to be that good. So it's been incredible to see photographers now and how fast they're progressing and how good they are. Like, oh my gosh, especially this group, like they've been taught so, so well, and they have so many incredible videos and teaching tools at their disposal. I'm a little jealous that I didn't have it when I started, but
yeah,
incredible.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Well, I'm very excited for you. I mean, here you are in this, you know, living in this gorgeous loft in Italy with your family, you know, a little shoot, some great education, an associate. Like, it's pretty cool. It's, you know, you're doing great things.
I've constructed it from very specifically and strategically over years of, you know, it's not without a lot of like heartache and blood, sweat, and tears. But that's what's so important about, you know, doing the work to grow yourself ethically and just to be able to get to the point where you can call all of the shots. Like, we are the masters of our own destiny, you know? That is another cliche that I'll spit out at you, but it's just so true to be able to construct your own dream life. And I have done that, and I have the best of all the worlds. So now I can dedicate, you know, when I'm home with my family, which is a lot more now, I can dedicate so much more of my attention. I can actually be present. And when I am at work, because I'm not doing it 95 hours a week, I am able to dedicate 100% of my attention to that. And when I'm teaching, especially has been so much fun the last 2 years because I can really, like, I'm laser focused and I'm not so burnt out from all of my shoots that I can't really, you know, concentrate. It's been great. It's a really cool chapter, and I'm happy to be here. I'm very grateful.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you for sharing all of this. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. It was fantastic, as always.
Yeah. Where can people find you online? You know, obviously, if they're looking for you in general, and then also the course.
So the Portrait Masters store has all of my stuff, all of my courses. I've got my the original boudoir series, which is all the fundamentals, and then I have Boundless Boudoir, which is the new course that came out. And there are some supplemental things in there too, like my posing cards, which are awesome. Like, those are really cool digital posing cards to help people with poses. Everyone gets so caught up in posing for boudoir. So these cards give you a visual of the poses. And then on the back, it actually tells you how to verbally get your clients into those poses. So that is absolutely awesome. And then my website is caramariestudios.com. And that will give you access to workshops. I mean, I teach workshops here in Italy, which is really cool. I usually do two-day workshops. And I think the March one just sold out, but there are still a few seats for the May class. So I teach confidence and shooting confidently. And another really important message for photographers to build their own inner confidence so that they can pass that on to their clients. So that's what the May workshop is about. And then, of course, I'm on Instagram. That's pretty much my only used social media platform. I'm at Cara Marie Studios on Instagram.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you again. And I also, like I said before, I want to encourage people to listen to your first episode as well to hear your whole story and just how you built from the ground up, and more tips on boudoir and pricing and all that good stuff. So very cool.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nikki. It's been great. Always is.
Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully we'll see each other soon. I don't know when, but
I'm sure hopefully at some point. We will. And then we'll forget when we saw each other last.
I know.
It all blurs, but it's okay. It's a good life.
Awesome. All right. Well, you take care. We will chat soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com, where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge, plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean, truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com.